preface to the revised edition. The Westminster Confession, along with the shorter and larger catechisms, has served as the doctrinal standard of all Presbyterian bodies since 1650. There are about 8 Presbyterian denominations in this country at the present time. This very spring, May 1965, an event of major significance in church history occurred. The United Presbyterian Church in the United States of America, the largest of these 8 denominations, by a 5-to-1 vote took the initial step in a process to repudiate the confession and substitute for it a new creed of vastly different content. Whereas the Westminster Confession is based entirely on the Scripture, and in its first chapter and elsewhere asserts the infallibility of the Word of God, no such allegiance to the Bible is found in the new creed. Of course, the United Presbyterian Church in the United States of America has for 30 years disregarded the authority of the Bible in its practice. In 1924, some 1,300 of its ministers signed and circulated the Auburn Affirmation, a document that denied the infallibility of Scripture and asserted that the virgin birth, the miracles of Christ, his atonement, and resurrection were unessential. Regardless of what a minister believed or disbelieved on these matters, his good standing was not to be called in question, and he was to be received with all confidence and fellowship. By 1936, the signers of the Auburn Affirmation showed that they had captured the church by reorganizing Princeton Seminary and placing one of the signers on its governing board by electing one of their number moderator of the General Assembly, and what was decisive, by excommunicating those ministers who had insisted on maintaining the Westminster standards in practice. Thus, ministers who rejected the Scripture and all it contains were given authority, while men who believed the Bible and all it contains were ejected as disturbers of the peace. Since that day, the Westminster Confession has been a dead letter in that denomination, and now the process to drop it officially has begun. What then does the new creed teach? Well, obviously it does not teach the virgin birth, the atonement, or the resurrection. Indeed, there is virtually nothing retained from the Westminster Confession. Predestination, original sin, total depravity, the mediatorial work of Christ, effectual calling, irresistible grace, the perseverance of the saints, the return of our Lord, the reality of hell, and even the hope of heaven are all missing. What doctrinal standards, then, does the new creed erect and impose? The answer is none. In the action of the General Assembly of 1965, no doctrinal commitment is envisaged at all. This is taken care of in the formula of subscription. In fact, the Westminster Confession could have been completely rejected without changing a word of it and without substituting anything. What the minister accepts is defined by the terms of his subscription. The Reformed Church in France has a fairly good creed, in many details similar to the Westminster Confession. But the ministers subscribe to it only as a statement of what the church used to believe. The minister does not say he himself believes it, or does he engage to hold the church to its theology. Similarly, the subscription now proposed, and in its first official test accepted by a 5-to-1 vote, does not commit the minister to any definite theological position, not even to the vague, meaningless phraseology of the new creed itself. What, then, do Presbyterians believe? Well, if the present proposal passes all the legal steps of the procedure, it can be said that the United Presbyterian Church in the United States of America will not believe anything, just nothing at all. But if it is asked, what do Presbyterians believe? The answer will always be the Bible and its most excellent summary, the Westminster Confession. The origin of this study is described in the preface to the first edition, published under title What Presbyterians Believe in 1956. This revision includes the text of the Westminster Confession and too many other changes to be mentioned here. Study groups are advised, requested, entreated, beseeched, implored, begged, and urged to read the Confession and to study the references in the Bible before, during, and after their discussion of this commentary. GHC, September 1965.